This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, bismillah wa alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma alimna ma yanfa'una wa manfa'ana bima alamtana innaka sami'un mujibu al-du'a. Allahumma ya'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'u, qalbin la yakhsha'u wa nafsin la tashba'u wa du'a'in la yusma'u. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li umri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. It's nice to be back. I definitely missed this, but I just want to say something without going into the details. In the last 2 weeks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with going on the other side of the world. And I want to say this to everybody. There's a lot of khair in this life. With all what we are seeing, with all what we are hearing, right? And with all the challenges, and everybody is very worried. If Allah made you see what I saw, I was like, don't worry. I was in Copenhagen, and Copenhagen is in the middle, right? It's way far if you compare it with the States. So I go, and I had no idea how many people will show up. I only know there is a program. So I go on that stage, and how many women were there? 1,200 women. The room was jammed, packed. And the beauty of it, every age, every race, every religion, every Muslim degree, let's put it this way, every level, honestly. From niqab to absolutely no hijab to very young people. And I looked and I said, the fact they are here, and it was a 3 hours program, and it could have been seven if we had to stop. So subhanAllah, it's really, and the one that was even the day after was in the Netherlands. In Amsterdam, there were two programs back to back. Every one is 3 hours. Each one, the room was full packed, 1,200 to 1,300, to the point they closed the door and says, that's it for safety. And the same thing, people from different ages, different. So don't you think we are the only people who are being challenged? In fact, we are still here is much easier than Europe, except England, of course. England is very different. But every part of Europe, this is much easier, even for the youth. It's much easier. It's very challenging there. But the youth that I met, la ilaha illallah, I literally felt that small. It's your age, you know, like the woman who, I don't know if she's hearing me, this is in Denmark, the woman who, she was like, they assigned her to take me around. We didn't take her around. I mean, I arrived from the airport to the lecture, but and that's amazing. I mean, they speak about Islam. I was silent. I was just listening to her parents from North Africa. I don't remember if she was born, raised there, or she came in young, but she speaks amazing English, of course, amazing their language. She speaks Arabic, but there's a lot of khair. This is how I came back, and I said, you know what, with everything we are seeing, you may see it, you may see your children challenges and everything, but if you come out from your small home and look at the bigger picture, there's a lot of khair. A lot of people are coming back. This is how I say it. A lot of people are coming back because they are finding everything else is not giving them what they are looking for. And many of us are finding this, maybe the youth not yet because you haven't seen it yet, but most people, when they get to their late 30s, 40s, they find there is something more than just this. And I've seen it so many places, but definitely in this trip, I don't know what Allah is planning for me in Australia, but I wanted to share this before I start. And I'm going to share with you a lot. I got a lot of questions there. So some of it, I'm actually going to share it with you here. And I don't remember which country was this. And then we had a lot of questions online. So we'll see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us. But some of the questions will make you feel what I'm sharing with you. So here you go. And I couldn't, of course, answer all of them. We had every talk, at least 1 hour to 1.5 hours of questions and answer. Look at this one. What are the first steps to understand, and look at the next one, and fall in love with the Quran and Allah? Didn't say memorize. Didn't say, it says, what is the first step to understand and fall in love with the Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question itself is beautiful, because talking about love, talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, didn't say, I want to go to Jannah, I'm worried I'm going to do whatever. Fall in love. Like if someone asks you, and Allah is exalted and His book is exalted, but if somebody asks you, how do you fall in love with ice cream? Or this, honestly, because we all love this, or let's say chocolate, something you love, and somebody, they have never tasted it. And they look at you and says, what is so special about it? I mean, why do you love it? And this is how they say it. What do you tell them? The first thing you will say, you know why you don't love it? Because you've never tried it. You put one piece in your mouth and see how you will feel. True or false? Ice cream, whatever, again, you love. So the first step to love Allah, because if you love Allah, you will love the Quran. If you love the Quran, you will love Allah. It's connected. It just depends which one you start. If you just start trying, the problem many of us have, we're so scared. And we put the obstacle before the obstacle comes in. I can't memorize the Quran. Did you try? No way I can do it. I can't understand. I don't know Arabic. Did you try? So the first step to love anything you want, halal, is remove the negative thinking. Don't say, I can't do it. How many of you in this room, myself included, and I definitely lived this, when people looked at you and says, you will never be able to do this. Show me hands. Right? Absolutely. I heard it continuously throughout my career as a professional, as a physician, and as a career as I was studying. And then what happened? How many times you have heard it from physicians, you will never be pregnant. And guess what? You got pregnant. So the first thing is remove the negative from you. It's not about people. It's you. Don't say, I can. Don't say, well, I love Allah. Look at me. Where am I? Quran? I don't even know how to read. Don't say this. Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. If Allah wants all of us at this room in a second to memorize the whole Quran, we will do it before we leave today's class. He can. So that's number one. Practically, to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this hadith Qudsi, which I love this hadith. Does anyone know which hadith I'm going to talk to about? What Allah talks about love. لا ليس أنا عند حسن ظني عبدي as I think I am he سبحانه as my servant think of me. No, there is a hadith Qudsi, long one, and at the end, نعم من عادى لي وليا فقد أذنته بالحرب. This is a beautiful hadith. I'm going to come to the second part, which is ما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضته عليه. Nothing will bring us close to Allah. Nothing. Without starting with the obligations. Don't tell me I do Qiyam al-Layl and you don't wake up for Fajr. Doesn't work. And don't tell me I fast Monday and Thursday and I still look at haram and I enjoy it. Because looking at haram and enjoying it is an obligation not to do it. Monday and Thursday is a sunnah. It's beautiful, but we need to know the priorities. Yeah, like tomorrow you have a math exam. Do you study physics and the physics on Friday? People will tell you, what are you doing? So the first step in getting closer to Allah, which means understanding His book, loving Allah, is number one, do what He told you to do, which means do and don't do. And to know this, I need to know, what did He tell me? If I ask everybody, and I do this all the time, what did Allah tell me to do? All of you are going to tell me, pray 5 times a day, fast Ramadan, go to Hajj if you can, the 5 pillars. That's it? That's very easy. And we forget the most important thing, which is the relationship between each other and what's in here. And what He told me not to do. Backbiting, lying, foul language, haram, looking at haram, being in places that's haram. These are all, this is not I'm a good person. This is no, period. So you want to get close to Allah, think of it, Allah is exalted, but just for us to make it easy, it's where the camera is in front of me, or where you are in front of me. If I get there, that's it. And this is basically the hadith. The first step to move from my cheer to start the journey, I need to stay away from haram. Even if you say, do I do the obligation, the do, or I start with the don't? Usually they will tell you start with the don't. Because haram will prevent you from doing the obligation. Remember the sins? The 9 weeks series we did about sins? The first thing sins will do is will prevent you from doing good deed. You look at haram before you go to bed, good luck for your fajr. Period. That's when people come to me and says, I have a very hard time waking up for fajr. First thing I say, what do you do before you go to bed? Then we'll talk about the alarm, and then we'll talk about whatever, whatever. But what did you look last before you went to bed, or heard, or said? So, ما تقرب إلي عبدي. The first thing, I'm going to start the journey. Move haram as much as you can that you have control over. Like it's your choice. Like it's my choice when I go to my social media, what I'm going to be looking at. It's my choice. There is some harams in the house, especially for us women. Maybe it is not completely in my hand. I need to work on this. But there is a lot that's in my hand. And then, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. Now, there is no love next to step without the extras. If you look at the sunnah, as sunnah, then don't talk to me about the love of Allah. If Maghrib will finish and you ran away out and you didn't do this turuqah that takes 2 minutes, 3 minutes, don't talk about the love of Allah. You're not there yet. When you love someone, and always think of the relationship with human beings and Allah is exalted. When you love someone, don't you bring them the tea or the coffee before they ask? Right? And when they ask you, I say, because they love it. That's love. So when I go and do the extras, again, Monday and Thursday, I do the extra salawat, I do qiyamul layl, I hold my anger. And I held my tongue. And I really am upset, but I'm not going to do it. Because that's not pleasing to Allah. You started the journey of love. Now you're in the second step. And this is not only in Ramadan, when the masjid is full and everybody is doing taraweeh and the day of Eid we're done. And the hadith says, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي. It's a continuous process. يَزَال, for those of you who know Arabic, فعل المضارع, the present verb, means now and the future. So it's not only today, only Monday, because now I spoke about it, so next Thursday you're fasting, and then next Monday I'm done. Don't talk about love. You're obedient to Allah. You're getting, but there is no love yet. And he says, لَا يَزَال, continue, يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. You know what's a nafila? Put a nafila, right? Somebody comes in here and says, Salaamu Alaikum. Or you come in here and you say, Salaamu Alaikum. We don't know anybody. Or you know nobody will answer you. That's a nafila. That's a good deed. That's an extra. Answering her is a wajib. Answering this person is an obligation. But just come in the masjid and say, Salaamu Alaikum. That's a good deed. Check. Right? You come in here and you see, I don't see it in this masjid. Inshallah, we should. But every masjid, like where I go, there's always boxes out there. You know, it says zakah, sadaqah, whatever. Just put $1. What is the $1? Right? I didn't say five or six to buy a coffee. It's just one. That's an afila. That's what he's talking about. But continuously. And in every step in my life, in my day, there's an opportunity for an afila. Making someone happy is a good deed. It's an afila. It's not an obligation. It's your choice. But it is extra. When I was traveling back, subhanAllah, travel is an amazing thing because it teaches you a lot, subhanAllah. When I came to the plane, and then I was on the aisle, and then a couple came in. So the woman was in the middle, and the man was here. And I just looked at them and says, do you want to sit together? And I thought, like, you know, they look in a good term, like they were talking. I was like, do you want to sit together? The woman looked at me, couldn't believe it. Says, really? I said, yeah, sure. Come on. Right? What did that cost me? Nothing. And I just moved to the next. That's a good deed. But we don't do it. We don't think of it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me think of it. So, لَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. What makes me A plus Muslim, this is how I call, A plus Muslim versus A versus B versus C. is the extras. Because everybody, to be a Muslim, believe in Allah. Everybody who is not a failed Muslim, pray. Delayed, maybe few, and they don't reject salah. But what makes you A-plus Muslim? A-plus Muslim is what Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, what Sayyidah Aisha described him, is the Quran, walking Quran. So now, you continue to do this, now the love. The word love comes in the hadith. حَتَّى أُحِبُّهُ Till Allah loves you, or Allah loves me. We claim Allah loves me. And by the way, I think I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Having this dunya is not a sign of love. When Allah gives me everything I want, that doesn't mean He loves me. Sometimes you need to be very worried, because this could be a test. On the contrary, the sign that Allah loves me, what He said, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُ When I love Him, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِي I become His hearing, His eyesight, His hand, and His leg. You will not disobey Him. You will not enjoy looking at haram. You can't do that. So how do I know Allah loves me? These are the two signs. And then, وَلَئِنْ سَأْلَنِي لَأَعْطِيَنَّهُ When He asks me, when you raise your hand, He'll give it to you on the spot. He always responds to the dua in three ways, you all know that. But this one is He will give it to you right away, because He used two forms in a word of tawkeed, emphasis. لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ لَامُ التَّوْكِيدَ النُّونُ التَّوْكِيدَ Two. وَلَئِنْ إِسْتَعَاذَنِي This is what we need. When you seek refuge in Allah, He will give it to you on the spot. He will protect you. So how do I get to the love of Allah and to the love of the Qur'an? Start by do what He told you to do. And don't, it's difficult, that's for sure. Yani I say this to myself before I say it to anyone. Obeying Allah is not easy. It's very challenging. And it's becoming more and more harder. But then the moment you start the step or the start the process, see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy. And once you fall in love with Allah, you will fall in love with His book. That's for sure. So let me see. Bismillah. There was a couple of them which is related to, yani more to us. Yeah, this is very applicable, especially in the summer. Let's see how many of you will agree. She says, how do I stop procrastinating and time wasting? I'm going to say a statement. I hope you're still going to come back after this statement. Muslims should never say, I'm bored. Period. Because if you say you're bored, your time, you're wasting your time. And one of the things we will be asked about, especially this side, because the hadith said this side, وَشَبَابَهُ فِيمَا أَفْنَاهُ or عُمُورَهُ فِيمَا أَفْنَاهُ The youth, what did you do with your age? Or in another one is in your life, what did you do? فِيمَا أَفْنَاهُ What did you use it for? Perished it. Exhausted in what? In what? So the first thing is feeling bored. What do I have to do? That means you really need to turn to Allah to use you. Sleeping till dhuhr, that's not a Muslim. Muslim sleeps till, like, I think Sayyidina Hassan al-Basri, when he was eating and entered on someone entered on him and he was eating, and he said, come and join. And he said, I just ate to the point I can't eat. Very common. He said, Subhanallah, a Muslim eat till he cannot eat? So to stop procrastinating, number one, remove the idea of I am bored. That's number one. Then number two, okay, I'm not going to get bored. So what do I do with the time? Two, ask Allah to use you. Wallahi alladhi allahu, when Allah uses you, you will have no time to breathe. You will look at the time in a second. I was like, okay, 5 minutes left for lunch. 5 minutes for lunch. Not 5 minutes for salah. Left, 5 minutes for lunch, 3 minutes for this. You will see, and you're not planning it. Just come and fall on your head. That means Allah is using you, especially if what you are doing is khair. So to stop this, number two, anything you want to do, ask Allah, because He will do it. And especially when you are sincere, he will do it. Three, don't be around people who are lazy. It's contagious. It's virus. Be with people. You wake up at 5. They are up by 3:30. And you say, really? And I thought I was someone. So be with people who are very productive. And by the way, productive, especially in the summer, doesn't mean I'm always going to be in Salah and Siyam. No. Productive. Do something. Do something to change this life, to change this earth, or protect this earth, or change people. And not only focus on your children only. And alhamdulillah, but also others, anything in this life. If you change the opinion of one person outside about you and me, you've done a lot of khair to you and me. So, don't say, I'm bored, dua. Be around people who are very positive and they will push you. They will push you. I have seen people, I was like, really? Really? That's how it is. Literally, I learned it actually from one of my teachers. The nap is 20 minutes. And when she said this to me, I was like, 20 minutes nap? What is this 20 minutes nap? SubhanAllah, try it and see. It's turned to be all the CEOs and the business people do it. SubhanAllah. Because their time is to the point. And it's amazing, amazing. That's number four. If you feel procrastinated, sometimes we do, because when you push yourself too much, sometimes you just want a breath. That's okay. As long as this breath is not disobedient to Allah. If you fail, again, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring you back. And He will use you. And this is one of the good things here, which is not back home, is that the students work during the summer. It's very good, as long as the work is halal, because it teaches them to stay busy. And once it's, as long as the work doesn't take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or from the duty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But don't say, I can't do it. And wasting the time is not only not doing some things, but when you do something that normally takes 10 minutes and you do it an hour or two. Or talking on the phone for 3 hours. Right? 3 hours on the phone every single day. I mean, calling your mother, that's a different story. That's ibadah, and you should do it. Just your friend, and we did, and we ate, and I cooked, and I'm invited. That's complete waste of time. I'm going to stand in front of him, and he's going to tell me, what did you do in this 3 hours? And most of the time, it's going to end up with, thank you, backbiting, saying something about people. So be very productive and look at time as your investment. Everyone talks about investment these days. Time is the biggest investment for my akhirah. For my akhirah. Helping somebody. SubhanAllah, this morning again, Allah showed me, yani, there's people, wallah ladhi ala, there's people that are so nice in this world. This is this woman I was supposed to meet her at 8, and she texted me at 8 and says, I'm a little bit late. Then she came at 8:15 and she said, you know what, there's an older woman, her children all work, and she gets bored. So she called me and says, can you come and pick me up and I will spend time with you. She lives 30 minutes from her. The woman put herself in the car, went and brought her. And I know how busy this woman is. That's good deed. That's a 30 minutes time invested in Akhirah, because she made a Muslim happy. So don't say I'm bored. Don't say there is nothing else I do. Don't waste your time in things that you can do. In 10 minutes, you're doing for 40 minutes. You know, spend all the time in the kitchen. If you're doing all the time in dhikr and learning, that's alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. But just to cook, because there's nothing else to do, you have to also look at it. And every day, I have to be better than the day before. Every day, I have to be better than the day before. Otherwise, this day will witness against me. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy, Ya Rabbi. There were so many talks about the program we did here. There were so many questions. It's even worse in Europe than here. This is a very good question. I answered it there, but I'm going to answer it here again. Look at this question. What are the most, and this goes again to this side, and I didn't plan it, Allah is my witness. What are, for your children, what are the most important questions a woman should ask herself, and herself is in capital letter, before getting married. How many of you are married here? Look at your luck. Now we're going to be asked. Okay, so what did you, no, I'm not going to put you on the spot. So what is the most important questions a woman ask herself? This is why I liked, is not to ask the man, because we normally expect ask the man. So put to the list, right? What's the most important question you ask yourself? Yes. Why are you getting married? Which basically goes, falls under intention. Why do you want your daughter to get married? Because that's another nightmare for mothers. Right? Why? If the answer is everybody else is getting married, that's not for Allah. If the answer herself is, I don't want to stay alone, that's not for Allah. And this is not guaranteed. Please forgive me, I love the man. That's not for Allah. Most of these will have a bumpy ride. Illa ma rahim Rabbi, of course. The answer has to be for Allah. So it's very easy. I'm getting married for Allah. Sure. What is the signs you're getting married for Allah? So number one is, Ya Rabbi, I'm getting married to please you. That's basically the answer. That's for Allah, to please you. Meaning what? And I'm not going to go into a lot of details, but inshallah all you will understand. Which basically, even in fiqh, you know, the marriage has five rulings. Marriage can be an obligation, recommended, which is the strongest one, halal, can be disliked, and can be actually prohibited. And I'm not talking about marrying non-Muslim and Muslim. No. I'm talking about the marriage that is all allowed by Allah. But the marriage itself, if it falls into a couple of the reasons, it becomes haram. For example, if you're getting married and you know you will not be able to fulfill the husband's needs, that's haram. Same thing for the husband. You know you will not be able, and I'm not going to go to the details. And that's how, that because you're hurting that person. So let's come to number one. I want to get married to please Allah. Meaning, this is a beautiful statement. Who are you getting married to? If you are getting married to somebody who does not please Allah or disobey Allah, that's not for Allah. So you go for the deen, right? And which is the hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضُونَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ وَإِلَّا فَسَادٌ وَفِتْنَةٌ. If comes to your proposal, parents and youth, a man, and this is especially for the man, the woman is a different one, I'll get to it. A man comes to propose to you or to your parents or through your parents that you are pleased with two things. And it's so interesting, these two things. Nothing about the degree or the money or the family, nothing. تَرْضُونَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ. You're pleased with his religion. It's so interesting that he separated religion from manners. He said, if you're pleased with his religion and manners, because normally we say, isn't religion is all about manners? Absolutely, but that's not reality all the time. Unfortunately, even for us as women, the same thing. So he says, if the person who proposed to you or to the parents, that you are pleased with his religion and his manner, the order is get, say yes. فَزَوِّجُوهُ. Say yes. Don't think about how she will live or how much money he's making or he's from this country or I am from that country or this part of the country, that part. And if you don't do that, that's what he's saying. وَإِلَّا. There's going to be a lot of mischief, a lot of immorality. What about the woman? تخطب المرأة لأربعة أو تنكح المرأة لأربعة. There's four reasons why a man wants to marry a woman. Beauty, wealth, status, and deen. There's four reasons. She's beautiful. She comes from this family. Or she is well-to-do. Right? Or could be all of them. Right? And religion. And then he gives you the advice. فَعَلَيْكَ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِيبَتْ يَدَاكَ. He was telling a sahabi, choose the woman of deen. Choose a woman of deen, a woman of religion. then you will have full hand. This is a figure of speech in the Arabic language, meaning you will never regret it. And look at us these days. Look at us these days. Why do we get married? Right? I give always this example, and correct me if I'm wrong. Right? You have two people, two men propose to you as a woman or propose to you as parents. So this person, very well to do, everything is check, 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 check. Right? La salah? Maybe. And the other person, right, the checks are half checks, yani moderate, nothing major, but nothing big also. So average education, average income, average family. But he is, the two are there, religion and manners. Normally, what do we do? For the person whose religion needs a lot of work, what do you say? He will improve. We all say this. True, he will improve. But when it comes for dunya, he will not improve. We don't say he will improve, right? Honestly. Am I making this up? Yani the one who improves his salah will not improve his income? No. Because my priority, and may Allah forgive me and forgive us all, my priority, religion is not at the top. I'm not gonna say at the bottom, but it's not at the top. And we make fun, because I've seen women, girls, we make fun of the girl who put religion as a priority. Are you out of your mind? Where are you gonna find them? Right? Or you found him, or he's there, but he's a very average person from all dunya wise. So where are you gonna live? So what are you gonna feed your children? Which school you was, and then you start putting all, but this is all from shaitan. And how many people you see and you know in your life, when they got married, he had nothing, and then Allah opened the dunya, and vice versa. So the first question you ask yourself is why and whom? And put your foot down. And don't get married just to please people. When Allah sends you the right person, don't start the marriage by disobedience of Allah. And this is to parents before, because I got this question very common from the practicing couple. My parents are really unhappy because I don't want this in my marriage. It's reality. It is reality. So help each other to obey Allah and put Allah number one in your life. Wallahi, He will send you the best person. Yani, the most common, and you know, I do here office hours, one-to-one and on the phone, the 80% of what people reach out is about problems in marriage. And I ask this question, why did you marry him? The answer is, I loved him. And if love will make marriage successful, we're not gonna see. The divorce rate in Muslim marriages, more than 50%. It's exactly the same as the non-Muslims. Because we are marrying for the same reason. We are marrying for the same reason. So the first question you ask yourself is why and how and what do you expect from your marriage? This is another good one. We still have time, alhamdulillah. I am consistent with my worship. By the way, I have no idea who these are. It all says anonymous. I'm consistent with my worship. I renew my intention. But my heart feels numb. I feel defeated, but I can continue. How do I change this feeling in my heart? Did you get the question? All of you? How many of you have this? I don't feel the act of worship. I feel it's a duty. I do it. But nothing in my heart. How many? Already? You all feed it to mashallah? Perfect. Or you're just too shy? You really enjoy it? Like tomorrow is Thursday and Maghrib at 8 p.m. Oh, alhamdulillah, I'm fasting tomorrow. Is that how it is? Okay, then you answered me. Now the good news is I am consistent with my worship. So alhamdulillah, the feeling of not feeding is not affecting the act of worship. So this is very good. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Now the question, what do I do to my heart? The reason we don't feel the act of worship, please forgive me, because we don't have this relationship with Allah. I don't look at salah as my private interview with Allah or my private moment with Allah. Now let's bring it back to dunya, to this life, so we feel. So you love someone, doesn't matter who this person is, right? And that person says, I'll call you at 8 o'clock. What are you gonna do 5 minutes before eight? Checking the phone works, or checking I'm in the right place, whatever is the distraction, I'm done, right? And you tell everybody in the house, I don't want any distractions. I have a very important phone call, right? There's nothing wrong with that. If I look at salah in this way, arihna biha ya Bilal, as Rasul والسلام, said to Sayyidina Bilal, give us comfort by it, ya Bilal, meaning call for adhan, meaning I feel so good when I'm in praying, then I'm fine. My heart, how many of you make major decisions during salah? Come on. You do major decisions. You take this, you think of it, and you said, that's it. It came inside salah. How many? Right? Right? Whatever is in your mind, and salah. And you say, subhanAllah. The reason I don't feel it, but again, you don't feel it is not a reason to stop doing it. Keep doing it. Allah will change you. But the reason is because I don't look at salah as a connection, as it should be, as a connection, as my immediate interaction with Allah. I look at, and I brought salah just because this is very common for everybody. I look at it as a duty, and the sign is we say, did salati, did you pray? This is how you say to your, even your children, and the children says yes. You should say, how was your interview with Allah? And I remember it was here actually when I was giving the sins series. It was a young girl, subhanAllah. Literally, it was by yani Allah sent her. The sin series actually is coming in a book. It's going to be in September, inshallah. It will be in the stores. But her question was amazing. She didn't tell me she doesn't pray. She didn't. It was a 14-year-old or 15-year-old here. She said, why don't I have this relationship with Allah that I get up for salah? She understood the essence of salah. So the reason I don't feel it, because I am not always connected with Allah. Meaning, coming to salah and I want to feel it, I remove all the distractions. Don't put your phone next to you. Because guess what? It always rings when you are in salah. Do you have this? When I used to do my private practice, yani patients never call unless I'm in salah. So remove the distractions. Ask Allah to give you this connection and remove the distractions. And again, remove haram from your life. Sins is a huge obstacle between me and Allah. And I don't feel it because Allah has not opened me the door. So remove sins. Sins has huge impact on us. We don't see this. Huge impact, all of us, young and old. You know, when you look at your social media and Allah knows what you are looking at, this is all disobedience to Allah. What I am seeing, the images that comes, and let alone I like, let alone I share, text messages, what I watch on this channel or that channel, right? Even these days, even cartoons, you have to screen it these days, subhanAllah. But the fact that you want this relationship, it's a very good news. The fact that I don't feel it, and this is very common actually. Another question, a month ago I was in a gathering, more than 50 women, professional, young. This was the question also. I feel it, my life is, I feel when I'm doing salah, it's boring. And a'udhu billah, but it's like, I don't feel it. What is it? I got everything I want in life, but there is no joy because the real connection is not there. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this and keep asking Allah, don't give up. Look at Him, work for Him. This is how I say, work for Allah. And He will give you wonders. Wallahu alladhi allahu. Last question, I'll take it from you. So at least we have to give you your right. Anybody, any question? That's fine, I'm not going to say your name. I'm just going to repeat the question online. Any question? Really? No question? When I was in Denmark, Isha, just get ready. Isha was 12 midnight. Fajr, 2:49. Oh my God. Absolutely. You go to Maghrib to the masjid, they combine with Isha. And I said, how did you fast Arafah? Because this was very close to the Eid. They said, Allah made it easy. And I was like, look at us. And literally, I said, I'm going to go back and I tell everybody, Maghrib is 8 o'clock. It's a piece of cake. So this is the question here. That's why I remember this. She said, Salam, my query for is Fajr is 4:09, but the Mu'adhin of the nearby mosque call Adhan at 4:30. Can I pray when it's time for Salah before the Adhan is called? It depends, why do they do the Adhan later on? This is a fiqh question. It depends which school of thought they follow in the masjid, because there's two times for Fajr. You all know that, right? So there is the Hanafi school and there is the other school of thought. The other school of thought is a little bit later than the Hanafi. So if you are a Hanafi, you follow your home. If you follow the other school of thoughts, then you follow the other one. I get this question very common, and I actually answered it in a whole 1 hour lecture in IOK. How do I combine medicine or psychology with Islamic study and also learning Arabic? Can you kind of guide regarding this? Yani, I'm going to try to say it as short as possible. Number one, you have to want it. Don't study to teach. And don't study to be on social media and you have followers, because you will not get it. He will not give it to you. That's not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You study because this is his religion. You memorize Quran because this is his book. I study Arabic because I want to understand my deen. Any other reason, don't do it, because your niyyah is wrong. You're doing it for yourself. Now, can I combine them? Yes, but again, not to, yani, I can't give an answer that will apply to everybody. Everybody is different. So basically, what's your situation? I get this very frequently. I'm a mother. I remember this one very recent. I'm a mother and I'm a full-time, I work full-time and I want to study Islamic studies. How much left from the day? Right? And you want to do this in a year or two, it's not going to happen because you're a human being. You'll break. So you look, and this is how you all need to look. Where did Allah put you at this stage of your life? You're a student, then you need to serve Allah as a student, number one. Now, we all are abd of Allah, so there's the basics we all go from. But then afterward, you're married, but you don't have children yet, and you don't work. Yes, you have much more time. Yes, you study Islamic studies and do this. But if you are a student and you are a wife and you are a mother, then you're going to do a part-time, maybe start only Arabic. Just learn Arabic. So, and then because the journey of Islamic study is not a year or two or three. It needs a lot of time. People want what I call it the fast food. They want it quickly. It doesn't work quickly. You have to put years, years and years, and don't give up on failure and all this. But in general, as one of the best advice I was given years ago, قومي حيث أقامك الله or مقامك حيث أقامك. What did Allah put you? Allah put you at this point as a student in college, then you are serving Allah as a student in college. And then start learning in according to the capacity. If you are only a student and this summer, take the whole summer and take full-time Islamic courses. But is it doable? Yes. But it needs a lot of time, a lot of sacrifices, a lot of patience. And as many people advise me, you have to have a very thick skin that you never give up. Shaitan will work on you and people will work on you. And I can't tell you what you will hear. But is it doable? Yes. But again, according to your time. So I think we need to stop here, inshallah, so they can get ready for Maghrib. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi tasliman kathira. Reminder, this coming Sunday is the youth conference. It's all done, prepared, run by the youth. I can't take any credit for it. I wish, but I can't. But we have two speakers from out of town. Dr. Altaf Hussein is flying to us from Chicago, and we have Sheikh Ahmed Bilo coming from IOK. It's a very interesting program, actually. A lot of challenging for the current time that we are living in. So if you haven't registered, please go ahead. Alhamdulillah, it's way more than what we expected, but there's still some room we can accommodate. Go ahead and do it. And don't be last minute as the woman conference and you're standing outside there. Remember, please get me in out there. Please don't do that. Let's move the lastminute.com from our life. Yes. It's actually for youth. I'm sorry. We will have a woman conference, don't worry. We are having a woman conference in November, inshallah, right? But this is, let's give them their space, right? Without the parents. Okay, inshallah. So please don't forget to register. Jazakumullahu khairan.